This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:04, it's time now for Sports Saturday. Sports Saturday brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Security National Bank with locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By Midwest Basement Technologies, call 618-372-7077. By the Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. And by Kurtz 24-Hour Heavy and Light Duty Towing and Machine Shop in Litchfield. And now, here are the guys. It's Tim Mize, it's Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
All right, Tobinat, thank you very much, and happy Cinco de Mayo.
Let me call you back.
That's the 5th of May, for those of you.
That's right.
In the English-speaking
You know
community.
What happened on this day?
What?
It's very important about this day. What's important about Cinco de Mayo?
It's a free day to get drunk.
Well, that's
no,
one. That's one.
That's not right.
But this is when Alan Shepard went into space
for the
first time. The first man in space for the United States.
There you go.
Way back when.
How about that?
Yeah, Cinco de Mayo.
Learn something new every day.
One of the original seven Mercury astronauts to actually walk on the moon.
Hmm.
The only one.
How about
Alan
that?
Shepard.
There you go. Lots to get to on the program today. We've got finally the regional pairings and seedings for high school baseball and softball.
It was only, 10 days late.
Better late than never. So we will get to that later on in the show. But all the rains have washed in Dennis Yokley. It is time for the Buddy Bass Fishing Tournament.
Fishing for Education.
Fishing for Education.
Yes,
there you go.
Fishing for Education.
And this is the fifth annual.
Fifth annual. And every year we've been able to give more scholarship money to our very deserving students at the Hillsboro School District. And that not only encompasses Hillsboro, but surrounding communities that attend the high school. This year we're going to give away a $1,000 scholarship for a trade school, which is a little bit different. And the way the funds have been coming in, as of this morning, giving a little update from yesterday, we're now at $6,800 this year, which enables us to give away an additional scholarship next year. This is 13 money. And we're still targeting for that $10,000, so we're still going to ask all the local businesses, if you have not committed a pledge for this very worthwhile cause, please call me, 532-3200. Leave me a message if I don't, if I'm not there. I may be out here at the radio station. We're looking forward to getting that up to that bar of $10,000 a year that we set 5 years ago, 4 years ago, and look forward to giving these scholarships away to these great kids. The kids are our future, and it's a very worthwhile deal. Every dime of the money given as pledges, as sponsors, goes to scholarship money. There is absolutely none of this money goes for prizes, food, any of that kind of thing. Every nickel goes right into the scholarship fund. So I want to make sure everybody understands that. All of the money, somebody asked me, what's the 83% payout? The 83% payout is based on 50 boats, and Rotary keeps a little bit of that to pay for the out of that entry fee, to pay for the plaques and mailing, so forth, so on. But we give away 83% of the money from entry fees only back to the fishermen. And hopefully we have 50 boats. First place is $1,000. And it brings people from long distances, and we sure appreciate their participation.
And you never have a problem reaching your 50-boat number.
Yes, we have. Last year we were it was a little quiet. We had rainy weather. We actually had 35 boats. First place was still $700, and I know the people that won it were really thrilled, and also very nice plaques for the winners as first place plaques, and also a nice plaque for a big bass. So just a real exciting, very competitive group of fishermen out here. They do a great job.
And I know Saturday mornings are real wild and woolly because a lot of people wait to see what the weather is going to be, and then all the registration gets underway, and it's a busy time.
Yeah, it's really great. I've had several of my fellow Rotarians volunteer. they'd never been to a bass tournament, and they were amazed at all the stuff that goes on to get the registration and make sure the money's right and get everybody in the water by, you know, 5:30. We plan to take off at 6 o'clock, and we draw for positions. You're welcome to come enter that day. That's when most of the registration takes place, and it's a great event, and I sure appreciate the fellow Rotarians giving me a hand there. We've got Rex Brown's going to be up wee early. He'll be down there at 4:30 in the morning with coffee. He's going to make coffee at the hospital. Hospital's going to donate the coffee to get everybody started off, and Casey's again is coming through with donuts for everybody. So we'll have donuts and coffee, and look forward to weather's supposed to be great. That's next Saturday. Need to get out there about 5 o'clock in the morning. Get registered if you haven't, and we'll have donuts, coffee, and a great time.
And when you say draw for positions, is that for lake position, to where you, if you get like say the first position, you get your pick on your spot of the lake, or how's that work?
No, we draw for position, meaning you're boat one, boat two, boat three. We take off in order how your name's drawn out of a hat. So if there's 50 boats and you're number 30, then there's 29 boats out in front of you, and they'll pick where they want to fish. But there's plenty of lake, plenty of water. There's plenty of water this year. And fishing's good. Just looking for a great turnout and a great tournament.
My only question is, what time do the fish get up?
They get up and get to run around before you do.
Okay, I'm sure of that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dennis, you mentioned $6,800 of donations this year. Fifth year of the tournament. Do you remember what you guys had year one off the top of your head?
Year one, we did. We gave $3,000 in scholarships. And year two was $4,400, and it just keeps going up. This year, I've had a lot of help from fellow Rotarians in raising funds. And instead of reading that whole list of, we now have 55 names, but this year, new sponsors are Bailey's Bistro, Family Eye Care, Lessman Pools and Spas, Justice and Farms, Jim and Ruth Heslov, R Machine, Lyra Electric, Fusion Fitness and Aquatics, Gianni's Pizza, WSMI, WAOX. They always participate, but this year they even, not only they're supplying our radio as we're talking here, but they also gave a very generous cash donation, so we appreciate that. Little Italy's Pizza, Rehab Edge, Heights Finance, Baker's Heating and Air Conditioning Incorporated, Barbara Adams, attorney at law, RP Lumber Company's back with another donation, Stephen Cullison, attorney at law, Alan Pretner, attorney at law, Ultimate Collision Center, and Clinical Radiologists. Those are the new ones that we have that have generously donated this year. And, as we go from $5,400 to $6,800, we know we can do 6,200 in scholarships, because the 62 comes from the six banks that give 200 a piece, which are Litchfield Bank and Trust, Carterville National Bank and Trust, First Community Bank of Hillsboro, Security National Bank, Witt Coffeen Irving National Bank of Hillsboro, and Litchfield National Bank. They go together and give a $1,200 scholarship. We have a $1,000 scholarship provided again by Patton Mining Company and Hillsboro Energy, and then the rest is from donations. So if we can get another $400 in here right away, we will.
Like before the end of the hour?
Well, the end of the hour is good, but this money is going to be given away in 13. Mm-hmm. We've already got the money set aside for 12. And so this money, if we can get another $400, I think I can get the fellow Rotarians and the school to pick another deserving candidate, and maybe we'll give, two trade school scholarships, or we'll give another just regular academic scholarship to somebody.
Well, that's something that really sounds good. We're talking with Dennis Yokely about the 5th Annual Buddy Bass Tournament. College isn't for everyone, the standard 4-year university, but with you guys offering now scholarships for trade schools, that is something that has mass appeal.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's not a secret to most people, but I didn't go to college. And I spent a lot of time in the car business. I've been in it 40 years. I don't know what I'd do without it. And I've had some very gracious employers that have really helped me along the way and mentors and all that thing. But college isn't for everyone, and we realized that. The fellow Rotarians said, hey, let's do something for a trade school. And, of course, I jumped on that as well. And, you know, we got a lot of great kids out there. You know, every time you turn a water faucet on, somebody out there had to be in a trade to make that water get to your place.
That's
so
right.
That's a very valuable thing. And you know, the house you live in and the roof doesn't leak and all the other things, a trade you have, you know, we just don't realize how many people are out there. You
car
know.
Repair?
Yeah, auto yeah. technicians, you know, sure. it's great.
When you talk about putting 50 boats on the water, are we talking about two men to the boat, or what are we talking about?
Yeah, two guys to the boat, and 50 boats, 100 guys out there fishing, and that's not too big for Coffeen Lake. We've exceeded that on other tournaments before.
What's the biggest fish that's been caught over the years?
You know, I don't really have that on my fingertip. I know there's been some six-pound fish caught out of Coffeen Lake, probably some sevens. I don't know if they've exceeded that or not. But in our club tournament, I've got that record, but I don't have it with me. I keep all that stuff recorded, how many boats, how many pounds every year, and how many fish are caught, and how many guys are disqualified. Wait a minute, who said that? But we do have rules. We do have Jim Kuntz this year is going to be our tournament official. He'll be in charge of making sure that you know that we have proper size fish. This is a slot limit on Coffeen Lake, which has been in effect for several years, and you know each fisherman gets one fish 15 inches or above, two fish between 12 and 15. And so, you know, you do get six fish with two guys. So you got two 15s and four between 12 and 15. We don't weigh in the little bitty dinks. So anyway, it's a great tournament, and I look forward to have everybody come out and fish as well as other businesses.
Sure.
If you're in a business and you haven't made a donation to this very worthwhile cause, we certainly appreciate it. You know, we're driving to hopefully we can hit that $10,000 figure. And if we can start helping area kids with $10,000 a year that wasn't there 5 years ago, I think that's pretty huge. And, again, thanks to the fellow Rotarians. There is no I in team, so I appreciate all their help. They've really been great to help me do this. This is an idea I had and wanted to do, and it's been very rewarding.
I'd say it's really worked out quite well. You said 50 boats for the tournament, which is a week from today. How many slots are open?
Well, there's plenty of slots. I doubt that we'll hit 50 boats. We've been as high as 42, but you know we'd love to have 50 boats. We're not going to turn anybody away. You know, I'm going to be out there fishing with my grandson, and fortunately for all you fishermen out there listening, we won't be in the competition. However, we just go out and have fun, and we're the last boat to go out, and we get in early and make sure everything's arranged and got everything set up for a good weigh in and fun results. We got some door prizes this year again. Gianni's and Little Italy's have given us some certificates, and maybe I can tell my friends at the good friends at Casey's maybe we can get some pizzas or something going out there. I don't know.
Fishermen get hungry.
They're always hungry. That's what makes fishing.
Like broadcasters.
Well, you know, it's a all that storytelling that goes on. It makes you hungry.
Yeah. Storytelling?
Yeah, yeah.
Is there stories being
told? Just a few.
I must not have heard that. That's something new.
A fisherman telling a story?
Yeah.
About the one that got away?
Dennis Yokley joining us here on Sports Saturday, the 5th annual Buddy Bass Fishing Tournament coming up a week from today. Dennis, if people want to get involved with this, whether it be to get a boat or maybe make a donation, how do they get a hold of you?
Just call me at 532-3200 down at Roger Jennings, or stop in, bring a check. You know, individuals are welcome. We look for, you know, we try to get $50 and up. I've had a few people ask, could they give 25? We're not turning any donations away. This is, once again, for the good of the kids. And, you know, we've got a great school district here. It's, you know, we're just really, really fortunate to have this school district. You know, I grew up in Williamsville, and they got a great school district there. A lot of good school districts around, but Hillsboro, you know, really shines. It does a great job.
Dennis, thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
We need a break. We're back after this.
Hi, I'm Jim Miller, Vice President, Senior Law Officer at Security National Bank. Farmers, it's time to get your spring finances in order, and we're ready to help you at Security National Bank, a small-town bank where we know your name with an established reputation in the area since 1932. We can help with all your ag lending needs. Stop by and see us today or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, with four locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And at 9:19, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Partly cloudy skies for today. There is a chance for some rain. Expect highs in the upper 80s. Partly cloudy skies with a slight chance of rain for tonight. We'll have lows of around 68 degrees. Heading into Sunday, partly cloudy skies. Expect a high Sunday of around 90 degrees. At 9:20, we have a temperature reading of 74 degrees, and the weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Back with more Sports Saturday right after this.
Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing and machine shop now has a heavy-duty tow truck and can tow your semis. They have a crew cab rollback to transport your car and your family, and they can pick up your motorcycle. There is nothing they can't tow. When you need a tow, remember Kurt's 24-hour towing and machine shop in Litchfield. 324-2400. That's 324-2400.
Is your home moving without you? You don't need a realtor. You need the foundation repair experts at Midwest Basement Technologies. Serving Central Illinois for over 30 years, correcting bowed or cracked walls, settlement problems, or wet and leaky basements and crawl spaces. If you live in Central or Southern Illinois, they service you. Call 1-800-848-9805 for your local service tech, or visit them on the web at MidwestBasementTech.com. For money saving coupons, that's MidwestBasementTech.com. Remember, foundation problems won't go away. Protect your investment.
And at 9:21, Sports Saturday continues once again. Here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
All right, Tobinot, thank you very much. Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday. And Terry, coming up shortly, an important event to help out Litchfield Golf.
Absolutely. Next week, so today's the deadline to sign up, although if somebody calls probably tomorrow or the next day,
they're not going to turn him down.
But the Parents for Golf and the Litchfield Country Club hosting a four-man scramble to benefit the Litchfield High School golf team. It's $200 a team. They'll have start times of 8:30 and 1:30. They'll have all sorts of other activities, skins game, mulligans, that sort of thing, 50-50 drawing, of course, food. And you need to get signed up, hopefully by today. A couple numbers to call, 556-4466 or 710-5368. And if you need those numbers, you can call me here at the station. I've got this in front of me. So.
And with the amount of rain that we've had, the greens are going to be soft, wow. So it'll be like throwing darts at the flagsticks.
Bocce ball.
So there you go. That's always a good game. Yeah. An underrated game is bocce ball.
Yeah.
So that'll be a good event.
We could do a show on bocce ball.
We really could.
So
the Litchfield Sports Boosters continue to do good work.
And these are the Parents for Golf that's helping out with the golf team here. And, you know, you're seeing and a lot, this happens at a lot of different schools. It's affected Litchfield here most recently, but where groups have gotten together, sports boosters, parents groups, stepping up. You know, Gillespie, Mount Olive soccer teams have done this for years, where the parents get together and raise money to fund these programs. So it's a great endeavor, and good luck to the Parents for Golf. And big thanks to the Litchfield Country Club. They always do a great job. So.
I think the sports boosters for Litchfield have donated like $28,000 here to keep some of these programs alive.
It's a tough time, but, you know, it's always in those tough times you have people stepping up, and that's what makes communities and worthwhile, especially living in the smaller communities we live in here. You know, people step up and they give from the heart.
No matter what the event, no matter what the cause, people around Mid-Illinois continue – to step up time after time, whether it be the Buddy Bass Tournament, which comes up next week, this golf event.
The thing that shocks me every year is the Montgomery County Cancer Association, over $100,000.
Yeah.
You know, how in the world did a county like this raise that much money for that event? But people get together and they do what needs to be done.
And Dennis was talking about, you know, what they're doing here with scholarships and stuff, and MCCA, which I'm a member, have been since the beginning of the board, and we'll give away $12,000 to $15,000 scholarships every year.
Yeah,
the generosity of people, it always amazes. You know, no matter how tough the times, people always find a way to help out a worthwhile cause.
Well, and as far as the business we're in, guys, sports, if some of these sports, and I say lesser sports, and I don't mean that in a meaningful way, but your
non-revenue sports.
Right, revenue sports, golf, soccer, if they're going to survive, it's going to take help from the general public in that school district to help them survive, because we're in a crunch where just the monetary funds are not available.
And at the high school level, baseball and softball, I would say, would fall into the non-revenue category. Right. And believe it or not, we are just a very, very short amount of time away from Regional Week. That'll begin the 14th of May. And, Terry, we're going to have lots of coverage coming up from the Hillsborough Softball Regional and the Gillespie Baseball Regional.
Those would be the two that we'll focus on for the most part. And then as things move along, of course, we'll see how everything else shakes out. But at the Gillespie Baseball Regional, after I went to North Mac to do a ball game a week or so ago, I said, hey, these guys are awful good, and they could give, you know, be a high seed in the regional, and they turned out to be the number one seed.
That's right. We kind of all just surmised last week, and incorrectly so, that Litchfield would be the one and North Mac the two, but reverse that.
Yeah, North Mac is number one, Litchfield number two. So North Mac really won't see any action till the middle part of that week on the 16th, and they'll get the winner of the Southwestern Gillespie game. Litchfield will get the winner of the Carlinville Hillsborough game, and of course the championship game set for May 19th, which will not hold intact simply because Mother Nature will throw a monkey wrench at us, and
she always does.
Always does. At Bethalto, at Civic Memorial High School, this is where Staunton is playing. The Bulldogs will see their first action on May the 16th against Civic Memorial. Staunton got the number 3 seed. Roxana 1, Civic Memorial 2, Staunton 3 in that regional tournament. Also, a Greenville Comets get the top seed at their regional. Bree Central is number 2. Comets will get the winner of the Carlisle-Salem game, and that'll be a Wednesday game as well.
That's a pretty tough regional there.
Oh, that's, you know.
They got Bree, I think Modern Day's in there as well.
Yeah, Modern Day's 3 and Salem 4. So, you know, that's a tough regional. A lot of times you see teams like this in sectionals.
Yeah. You know, Greenville to me in baseball is kind of like Auburn in football. It's not a class issue like it is with Auburn, whether they're, you know, they never know for sure which class they're going to be, whether they're going to be a big 2A or a small 3A. But from Greenville's perspective, they always know what class they're going to be, but they never know which direction they're going, whether they're going to get the teams from the south or whether they're going to get more localized teams. So they're just kind of always in limbo in that regard.
And it's just the way of the IHSA, and a lot of people complain about assignments. But the thing of it is, when you start making assignments and you start, you know, you have your assigned sites, your host sites, there's only, you know, somebody's going to be on the outside.
It's always
going to
happen.
It's always going to happen. It doesn't make any difference how things work out. So somebody's always going to be on the outside looking in as far as maybe a little bit extra travel and that sort of thing. But that's just how it works out. And hopefully this time looks like they've garnered most of the teams from the south, and they will eventually feed into the sectional at, let me see here. I think they go to, the super will be at Sojay, and Vandalia's hosting the sectional. And then the teams from the Gillespie Regional and Civic Memorial Regional will feed into the Quincy Notre Dame sectional and eventually go to Lincoln Land. So Q&D, what a trip.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's kind of an oddity. Greenville gets the Southern Regionals, but more of a localized sectional if they can advance out in Vandalia, opposed to Litchfield and Hillsborough and North Mac, where they get the localized Gillespie Regional. And if you win that, off to Quincy you go.
Off to Quincy you go. So, yeah. And then 1A baseball, The regional that will feed into the sectional at Blackburn that affects most of our local teams will be at Morrisonville when Nokomis got the number one seed, Morrisonville number two, Lincolnwood 3, Mulberry Grove 4, Patoka and Ramsey 5 and 6. So
pretty good situation for Nokomis.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty good situation there. Marquette's having a regional. Mount Olive got the number 5 seed, Bunker Hill the number 3 seed, Marquette Dupo 1 and 2 there. So, and at Calhoun, guess who's the number 1 seed? Carrollton.
Shocking
revelation there, isn't it?
Surprise.
Defending champs.
Yeah, defending champs. So, and got a chance to talk with Coach Crumweedy at the IBCA Hall of Fame banquet last week, and so we're trying to get him lined up for a visit on our Sports Saturday show this summer sometime. And he'll help promote the his round table, his basketball coaches round table. So
big annual coaching event around the area.
Absolutely.
I would imagine, Terry, well, once we get into June, we'll probably start our quote-unquote summer series.
Yeah.
Got some good interviews lined up.
I think we've got some terrific interviews lined up, and they always prove to be very interesting. I think one of the best sports shows I can ever remember those when we had Coach Lofka and Coach DeBrino in here.
That was a good one.
Mm-hmm. That's probably one of my favorites of all time when we had those guys in here. Girls softball in 2A at Hillsboro. Gillespie number 1, Southwestern number 2. Not an easy regional here. Number 3 seed is Litchfield, Hillsboro 4, and Staunton 5. So that regional at the sports complex is going to be wild and woolly.
And, of course, Southwestern and Gillespie were scheduled to play yesterday. Yeah. Rained out. You wonder, Terry, with them being in the same regional, if they will even attempt to get that regular season game rescheduled.
They may not, because it's not a conference game.
It's not a conference game, and you don't necessarily want to give anything away at this late stage of the game.
Sort of tip your hand, right, so to speak. At Greenville is the number 1 seed in softball. Westland number 2. Carlisle 3, Bree Central 4, Vandalia is number 5. So there you go in 2A. And in Class 1A, Lincolnwood's hosting the regional, softball regional, where Calvary Academy is number 1. They're loaded. Pawnee number 2, Morrisonville 3, Nokomis 4, Lincolnwood 5, and Springfield Lutheran 6. So there you have it.
Hard to believe that it's already this
time of
year.
It's already this time of year. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And by the way, as I mentioned, it was at the IBCA Hall of Fame banquet last week at ISU, and the Nokomis girls basketball teams from 99-98 got inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame. So congratulations to the Lady Redskins. It was 2 years they were state champs.
And Terry, I would imagine for you that was probably a pretty fun look back at those championship clubs.
That was it was an interesting evening.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. A very interesting evening. And 10 of the girls were able to make it. And, just a lot of memories. And everybody echoed the same feelings that we just wish Mo was here. Maury Huff, you know, who passed away in 2004. Everybody was very happy. There were a few stories told.
Yeah, I bet there were. Of course, Molly McDowell still playing overseas. I guess her club, Amsterdam club, just won
championship. Yeah, imagine that.
Imagine that.
Molly's on a winner.
Another title. Was she was there?
No, she was not.
She was not there.
She was not.
So she did not have to dig her jersey out of.
No. They were not in their jerseys. They were just dressed in normal civilian clothes. But it was a very nice gathering. And Coach McDowell, Coach Rochelle McDowell. God bless her. She did a ton of work to put all this together. Actually had a chance to introduce the team to the banquet hall, and it was very, very special. So it was kind of neat. It was really neat. And, of course, Sharon Huff and Shayna were there and members of the team. So it was a very special night, and I'm just a bum. I got to hang around with them, so I feel pretty lucky in that respect. So I didn't win anything, but it's always good to hang around with winners.
Well, Terry, you've been doing high school basketball around here for a long, long time. Would those Nokomis teams, would those be the best girls' teams that you've seen around here or not?
You know,
they won back-to-back, but Carrollton won back-to-back. Of course, the Hillsboro girls won.
And it's very difficult to say because, as we've pointed out, the progression of girls' basketball in this area has been tremendous in recent years. And boy, that would be very tough to quantify.
The competition has increased over the years, but I know that those teams, they were dominant for their time. And when you win back-to-back.
Back. And the thing about it was, and a couple of the girls, a couple of the, I shouldn't say girls now, they're young ladies, a couple of the women were saying how interesting it was the first year they won. Everybody was on the bandwagon because they knew Nokomis had been good for a long time. Finally got through the sectional and got past T-Town, had their shot. And then the second year, they said so many people around the state were gunning for them and didn't want them to win. Which is, I think, a normal situation. You had your chance, you won, and now you've got the bullseye on your back. And everybody kind of, not everybody, but a lot of people around the state kind of took that attitude. Well, they've had their chance and let somebody else win. So it was just a different feeling that way. So, you know, the thing I find is most interesting, and I can remember back the second year, we were always talking about how much pressure there was on the girls. And Mo, you know, no, there's no pressure. There's no pressure. There's no pressure. And, you know, he was taking care of his team at that time. But, you know, there was some pressure there. And probably one of the great games that year was a game they lost against Chicago Marshall, the number one ranked team in AA. They played at the Uritan shootout in Carterville, Johnny Logan College. And that was a wild game. Well, you had the number one ranked in AA and the number one ranked in Class
A. Don't get that often.
You don't get that very often. And Marshall beat them. And, you know, legendary coach Dorothy Gators from Chicago Marshall. That was one of the games I really remember. So,
and a lot of times the toughest job a coach can have is to deflect the pressure off of their squad. And, guys, you see it all the time. If you win back-to-back, the first one is pure joy.
Yeah.
And then almost that second one, it's relief that we won, opposed to the joy of winning.
Probably the one thing that those teams had with the MTXE, the mental toughness, extra effort, the mental toughness part is where they really prevailed in that second season. They really, really were mentally tough, focused on what they were doing. The Carrollton teams were that way when they went back-to-back. The T-Town teams were that way. You know, any team, Hillsborough, when the Toppers won, you know, you have to have that very mental, tough mental aspect because everybody's out to get you. And you just have to deflect things away. And, you know, when you have a guard like Molly, have a guard like Hope for Hillsboro, you know, that's, boy, that just gives you such a great opportunity. I mean, everybody else, everybody contributes. But, you know, this is a good starting point. And defense, you want to play and you want to be successful. Learn to play defense.
Yeah, that's exactly
they win
right.
They win you the big games. They really do. Free throw shooting.
Yep. I wonder how often Teak and the Hillsborough girls that were on the championship team think, boy, I wish we hadn't all gotten sick that second year.
You know,
was that the sectional or the super?
Super.
They all had the flu.
You know, they weren't perking real well that night, but, you know, they gave it their all. And there are a lot of teams over the years that face the same situation.
Well, that's what makes not just winning it once so difficult, to repeat.
Yeah.
Everything has to fall right for you.
Right. And when you think, especially about girls' athletics, the increased propensity for an ACL tear, or, you know, they just suffer more ACL tears than normal. And to go through two seasons and not have that, amazing.
Keep everybody healthy. And that's the secret, whether you win it 1 year, 2 years, or whatever, is to keep everybody healthy, especially at tournament time.
However you want to rank them, and, you know, I ranked them, obviously, if not the top team, amongst the top team. But we have been so wonderfully blessed with great girls basketball.
Oh, yeah.
There. It's been an absolute hoot to follow these gals in the postseason tournament. And all the regular season stuff, too. I mean, we have great shootouts, you know, down to the last second. But to follow our local teams in the postseason has been terrific. It's been a lot of fun.
And this will continue because we got a lot of outstanding. Yep. You know, when we talk about high school and achievements in high school, and because I guess I was from that era and I was in high school, I have to go back to the 1945 Taylorville Tornadoes when they went 45-0 and won the state tournament. Johnny Orr and Ron Bontemps.
Number one to play that many games.
Yeah, 45 games.
Most teams will play 35 to 38 games, and that's a long season. Basketball's a long season. But to play 45 games and not lose a darn game?
College teams don't even play that
many
games.
Oh, my gosh, no.
No. Yeah, it was just phenomenal and to watch those guys, Orr and Bontemps. What a pair of athletes those two guys were.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Just unbelievable for high school. And Dolph Stanley, of course, was their coach, and they went on to he went on to coach at Beloit, at Beloit. But that has to be, in high school sports, has to be one of the outstanding things that ever happened.
Yeah, that's pretty close to an untouchable record, I would say.
Yeah.
Since you can't even play that many games.
You can't even play that many games. Yeah. And I can remember when girls basketball first got started at the IHSA level, because I was in college at that time, and Matt Toon happened to make the tournament, and you know, the game was a slow game. It was we're going to move from here to here, station to station basketball, I call it. And now it's such an intense game. The biggest difference, I think, is the fact that coaches know that they can teach young ladies to play defense.
Yeah.
That to me is the biggest difference.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to be challenged. If you can't handle the pressure, you're not going to be playing very long, because their teams are going to be in your face, especially the elite teams, the high-end teams, are going to be in your face at all times, and you've got to be able to operate under pressure. And that's what separates the great teams from just the average team.
That's right.
You know, the ability, and it's not just one person, but you got to have that one person, you know, that kind of solidifies everything, pulls them all together, the quarterback, so to speak, the point guard, the off guard, whatever position it is. But you got to be able to face that pressure.
And obviously Nokomis had that with Ma and McDowell. But Terry, would you say, what was the better team for Nokomis? Was it would it be the 97-98 team or the 98-99 team?
Well,
one of them had to be better than the other.
That was part of the discussion. And, you know, more than one person agrees that maybe the team the year ahead of that was probably as good, if not better. And even before that, there were a couple of teams before that that they could have, as far as player per player, maybe, athlete per athlete, may have been a better team. But, you know, that's what makes the tournament so great. It's a single elimination tournament. You get your one shot just like everybody else does. And if you can string together, at that time, 8 victories, you know, you're state champions. And that's you want to know why the NCAA tournament is so popular? It's a one-shot deal. You get your one shot, no matter the draw. You don't like the draw, too bad. That's your draw. You go. That's what makes it a great tournament.
One shiny moment.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you know, guys, when we talk about the back-to-back state tournament champion and we say Nokomis Redskins, we do not want to forget to point out that Lincolnwood had a big part of that. They had some girls, you know.
Venetia Waterman was there.
Fed into that and made that program complete.
Well, the first young lady that went was Sarah Hitchings.
Yeah.
Hitch. It was Hitch and Ryan Danner on that team the year before. That was the really great, outstanding players. And Hitch kind of opened the door and got the co-op going. And, you know, Sarah was a tremendous ball player in her own right. And great teams. And I can remember covering Southwestern when they finished third in 1991 and how different things are in the post-9/11 era. In 1991, the state tournament was held at the Assembly Hall in Champaign, and Merv Kruthus was the coach, and Gary Boker was the assistant coach for the Birds of Southwestern. Great team. Went to state, and I can remember 20 minutes before the broadcast begins, I walk right across the Assembly Hall floor. Merv is taping up ankles on the bench, and I do a pregame interview with him, you know. If you try to do that now, you would be hauled off in irons.
Oh, yeah.
And the security is so different. It was such a much more laid-back time. Now everything is, you know, you have to have your credentials displayed and everything. Back then, you stick in your pocket and you walk around and stuff like that. But it's so neat when you and you know, we've had a lot of boys teams experience state tournament level competition, you know, and it's such a neat thing when a town can revel in its basketball team. It's different than football. It's different than baseball. Basketball is one of those sports. You only got 5 out there, but it tends to rally a team. And to me, a lot more interest from the area is drawn in with area basketball teams as opposed to football teams.
Yeah.
As far as just talking about, you know, about the tournament. to me, it seems to be a lot more like regional. Who knows? Who's going to win this regional? Who's going to win that regional?
Yeah, I think the regular season football generates more interest and much more buzz. But yeah, the postseason in basketball really
still,
gets it going.
It's still, to me, the premier event for the IHSA, the state basketball tournament.
And I think give basketball a leg up over football when it comes to fan intensity. Almost everybody sitting in those bleachers watching the basketball game, to some degree, understands that game. We're sitting on the sidelines of football, and it's farther away from you. It's hard to understand, unless you know the nomenclature of the game, what that umpire called or referee called, why he called it, what it was. You know, but basketball, you're right there, you're seeing it, and I think it's a little easier game to comprehend.
Well, and it's a different, it's just a different type of game and a different flow to the ball game. I mean, football, you know, draws great crowds, and let's face it, and the advantage football has, you know, schools have been off for 3 months, and now all of a sudden the school season starts, the air is getting a little bit cooler perhaps, you know, and football's in the air. That probably is the biggest advantage football has in the fall, is that we've waited for something to happen, and now it's happening.
Kicks off the school year.
Absolutely.
Opposed to where in baseball and softball, if you make a deep run, school's out.
School's out.
You're at state, and school's out, and it just gives it that different feel.
It does. And it, to me, it's such a downer for ball teams when schools are out. I can tell you right now of coaches who have experienced a long run in the postseason, and kids have just not shown up after school's been out, and they were a key part of a team.
Right.
Around here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That hurts.
Yeah.
That hurts.
Yep.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday, and we're going to talk Cardinals when we come back following this.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
Listen for high school baseball and softball on the Tally Broadcasting Stations. Brought to you by Sarco Hydraulics in Litchfield, Nokomis Tire and Auto Repair, The Shine Shop in Litchfield, Auto Cleanup with a Difference, The Verdant Dairy Queen, Stop by After the Game, Wendy's on the west side of Litchfield, Dirk's Radiator Service in Nokomis, Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield, Taylor's Mexican Chili in Carlinville, and by the City of Nokomis. Farmer-owned Prairie Farms, a name that belongs on your shopping list. With fresh strawberries in your favorite market, Prairie Farms dairy products have become even more important. Prairie Farms half and half for cereal topped with red ripe strawberries. Prairie Farms whipped cream for shortcake. And for a delicious low-calorie treat to dip your strawberries in, delicious Prairie Farms yogurt. And to energize for outdoor activities, 100% pure Prairie Farms orange juice. Taste the homemade goodness of farmer-owned Prairie Farms.
And at 9:46, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Partly cloudy skies for today. There is a chance for some showers. Expect highs in the upper 80s. Partly cloudy skies continuing on through tonight. There's still a chance for some rain. Expect a low in the upper 60s. Heading into Sunday, partly cloudy skies will have a high of around 90. Extended look at the forecast Monday through Wednesday. Partly cloudy and cooler. We'll have highs in the low 70s. The lows will be in the low 50s. At 9:47, we have a temperature reading of 76 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sports Saturday continues right after this.
If you're a farmer or an agribusiness, it's good to bank with people you know and trust. Hi, I'm Jim Miller, Vice President, Senior Loan Officer at Security National Bank. I specialize in ag lending, and Security National Bank's ag lending staff is experienced and ready to serve all your farming needs. We offer competitive rates. Stop by and see us today or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, with 4 locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Since 1899, four generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
And at 9:49, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize, Uncle Ralph, and Terry Tote.
All right, Tobinat, thank you very much.
Mendoza line.
Oh, buddy. Albert Pujols batting like a buck 94, mired in the longest single-season homerless drought of his career. I think he's up to 106 at-bats right now. And guys, who would have thought that we would be sitting here on the 5th of May? The Cardinals have the best offense in the National League. Rolling, and Albert Pujols is below the Mendoza line. How about that? Hitting below 200.
And you know,
how's this happen?
I don't know, but and it's tough to feel sorry for somebody who's making going to make $240 million.
He's doing all right.
Yeah, but as a player who takes pride in his craft, you can understand how he is frustrated and suffering. And as Cardinal General Manager John Mozeliak said, when Albert's good, it's good for baseball.
Sure. Well, it's amazing the start he's off to. You think about Matt Holliday, and he's been off to a slow start by his standards. And that's what Pujols is facing. He's being judged by his standards, not everyone else's. And even by everyone else's standards, he stinks this year. But Holliday, a slow start he's been off to, he's still hitting 250, five or six bombs, you know, like 14 or 15 RBIs, that's a slow start. Mm-hmm. You look at Pujols, no home runs, five RBIs. Alan Craig has played in three games, and he's got three RBI. Pujols has played every game for 5 weeks.
And the question here is, who's going to pay? When he gets hot.
Someone is.
Somebody's going to pay, and somebody's probably going to get hurt. He's going to hit a line drive. It's going to break somebody's leg. I mean, when Albert gets hot, and you know he will. Somewhere along the way, he's gonna click. And
you would think, but it's not early anymore.
No, it's not early.
It's not early anymore. And I mean, 194 in the first week of May—that's a problem.
And booze,
that's a big problem. He got booed last night. Got booed last night.
Wow.
First time he's ever been booed at home.
They were at home.
Oh yeah, they were.
Yeah. To give Albert a little, and of course he's part of the problem as well, but. That ball club has played terrible.
Oh, they're awful.
They've got off to a terrible start.
It's weird. The Angels' start this year almost mirrors the Cardinals' start last year. Pujols struggling in a bullpen that stinks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing, really, kind of the
scary.
Way you look at it. It is scary.
It's freaky scary.
The problem is I don't think they're going to be able to finish like they did last year because the Rangers are an outstanding club, and they've already got a big lead in that division.
Well, let's face it, the finish that the Cardinals had last year was statistically one in a million.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's not going to happen again for a while.
No.
So to expect the Angels to rebound and be competitive like that, they're going to be competitive, but I just don't think they're going to be in the playoffs.
You got a long way to go.
They are mired in last place in the division. And you're right, Tim, their bullpen has been porous.
Yeah, I mean, they've blown some games.
Their offense has been non-existent. They have really, really struggled. And as you pointed out, we were talking about it an hour and a half ago, it's the Dodgers.
Yeah.
The Dodgers are the story on the West Coast. It's not the Angels.
No. Up until the last week, it was the Dodgers and Washington. Now Washington has cooled off.
And what adds that little bit of more pressure for Pujols is the fact that the Cardinals are raking offensively. Yeah. No one is missing Pujols from the Cardinals side because the offense hasn't missed a beat. They had a little hiccup last night in Houston, dropping it 5-4 to the Astros. But
that was due to defensive errors.
Starting pitching and defense is why the Cardinals have gotten off to the start they did, and they both failed them last night. The defense did not do Kyle Loesch any favors and started with the first batter of the game. Right. That's a ball that has to be caught in right field. You got to catch that baseball at the major league level. That's just a fact. That's not what you would. It's not a routine play, but it's not a difficult play.
And even
at the
though Loesch wasn't
level.
On last night, he was good enough good to enough. Win. Right. But the error is just and Loesch, you know, served up the gopher ball after an error, and that did him in.
One of those Crawford box home
runs.
As I watch Houston play, and everybody moaned before the season, and they are not a very good ball club. They talk about how bad Houston was, but when I look at Houston, last night, for instance, I don't see them any worse than the Pirates or some of the other ball
clubs. Well, coming off a sweep of the Mets, too, you don't want to play a bad team like Houston now.
No.
You'd much rather play them in August, in September.
When they're beaten down.
When they're beaten down and they know they're bad. Like right now, they don't realize how bad they're going to be.
Yeah.
They're playing good baseball right
and
now.
And they're young. They got some young players. And but you talk about the Cardinals and the Rangers, two teams in the World Series last year, they just hiccuped and went right on from where they left off.
That's right. I mean, they look like the two best teams in baseball right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Cardinals, though, notoriously have had a problem playing at Minute Maid Park, though. There's something about that place that the Cardinals have had
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I don't remember them necessarily having a lot of problems there, per se. They've had some good games there. Yeah. It's just when you lose a game there, it kind of sticks out. Lose on a Crawford Box home run, it's like, are the Cardinals ever going to hit a Crawford Box home run? The Astros hit them all the time.
I just can't imagine a big league city like Houston building a ballpark.
Oh, it's a joke.
With those dimensions.
It's the worst ballpark in Major League Baseball.
Spending all those millions of dollars and come up with a phony park like that.
It's so gimmicky.
Oh, God, it's terrible.
I kind of forgot what the Astros retro uniforms actually looked like.
They'll be in the American League next year.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Albert will be happy about that. He'll get some familiar territory there.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll be at home.
Yes.
Yeah, he does look lost, though. I was watching him take a couple at-bats the other night, and he just looks
lost. He's lost. He's got no idea what he's doing right now. And he keeps saying that he's been through this before. No, you've never been hitting a .194 in the 5th of May. You've never been through that before. But, guys, back to the Cardinals side of things. They still haven't put their full squad on the field one game this year. No. As soon as Craig got back, Berkman's been out. Now Beltran's got a little bit of, a tight hammy, so to speak. Berkman's still going to be out a few more days. So they're 16-10 in first place, third best record in the National League, but they still haven't fielded their quote-unquote top 25 yet.
No, and probably the good thing about it is the personnel is there to carry them over these.
Yeah, their bench is deep.
The bench is deep enough. It's not really that deep, but it's deep enough with quality enough people that you can plug in.
They're so versatile. Well,
That's probably the big thing, the versatility. Made the Yankees squads all very great, Ralph, in the 50s and 60s? It was the versatility because the guys that played the outfield could also play an infield position and vice versa.
Yeah.
The versatility is so valuable in Major League Baseball.
And speaking of the Yankees, I see now where they don't think Rivera had a ACL tear in his knee, so.
He says he'll be back next year.
Good. Yeah. Oh, that was what painful video that was. Oh. If you've seen the video, shagging fly balls in the outfield and blows his knee out. That's just awful. I mean, you don't want to see any athlete go out like that, but certainly not arguably the best relief pitcher in the history of baseball.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't deserve to go out like that.
And I don't know about you guys, but when Rivera's in a ballgame, you know what's coming.
It's over.
It doesn't make any difference. You know what's coming. You still can't hit it.
You can't
hit it.
They never have been able to hit it. And like you say, you know, the batter gets up there, I know exactly what he's going to throw me, and you swing right through it.
That's exactly right. And, guys, in this day and age of baseball, when a save is anything but a sure thing, whether it's a one-run lead or a three-run lead, when he comes in the game, it's over. Literally, turn out the lights, get ready to go, because the game is over.
If you come back and beat him once a year, that's it.
That's right.
Yeah, you've had a good year.
Maybe happens once a year. Yeah,
you've had a good year, probably, if not the greatest, certainly reached right up there with the greatest relievers. But
I think when you factor in what he's done in the postseason,
he's got to be
so dominant. I don't know who would be better.
No, not in the postseason.
Right. I mean, just lights out.
Yeah. Unbelievable guy.
Not to change subjects, this week was kind of a sad day for sports with the whole thing with the NFL, with Junior Seau and all that.
Yeah. Yeah, it continues to be a lot of those guys doing away with their own lives for this problem or another, and a lot of them in their 40s and 50s. Not old guy, not old people.
Right. No, I mean, that's going to start happening, I'm afraid, more and more with these NFL guys and the concussions, guys. And that was a sad story, no doubt, the Junior Seau situation taking his own life earlier this week. But Cardinal Nation was rocked with the death in the family this week.
Yes.
Lil Musual, the wife of Stan the Man, passed away at 91 years of age. And, boy, that's just heartbreaking. And you just wonder now, what about Stan?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everybody's
married for 71 years.
Yeah. It's an end of an era, and you know, for us older guys that remember when Stan came up with the Cardinals and those the DiMaggio's and Williams and those guys, and you know, they're rapidly all going away because they're like Stan. He's 91 years old. Yeah. You know.
And he hasn't been in good health, and
no.
So that makes you very concerned about Stan's well-being here. So.
And one of the greatest guys to ever put on a baseball uniform. I don't know of anybody that had a greater personality than Stan Musial.
And I did, on the advice of Chick Bishop this week, email the Cardinals and say, hey, you're putting Tony La Russa's number into retirement. What about Sonny Jim Bottomley, who was a Cardinal for many, many years, a Hall of Famer? Where is he on that outfield wall?
Yeah.
Where is he?
They're going to run out of numbers.
He didn't have a number. Roger Hornsby didn't have a number.
Right.
No.
Where is Sonny Jim Bottomley? He was a Cardinal. He was a Hall of Famer. He needs to be recognized.
That's true. I want Willie McGee's number retired. That's
I do, too. I agree.
Get 5-1 on that wall.
That's
we
right.
are out of time.
Yeah.
WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville, your 50,000-watt voice of Mid-Illinois. Sports Saturday is done. We'll talk to you next week.